my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
Live and direct from Nairobi, Kenya, it's the Global Citizen Podcast. Jabari.
We're back at it. It's been a while, but so excited to be back connecting with the lovely people of the global community.
I was telling Jabari today when I saw him. I hadn't seen him in a while.
It's been a minute.
I felt like it's like...
I
felt like it was looking for the mayor. Or the most popular guy in Nairobi. But it's good to see you, man.
Definitely, bro. Seriously, it's been a minute, and my apologies for being so, as they say in Kenya, so lost. You've been so lost.
You literally have been lost.
I literally have been lost, though, for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. The New Zealand trip.
Right.
Then you traveled to New York.
I did.
I got back from New Zealand. And I always say that after trips, especially trips that are so life-changing, As New Zealand was, I mean, it was definitely an amazing experience. So I got back to Kenya and immediately had to jump back into the grind.
Yeah.
Having been away for 2 weeks. But mentally, for about 2 weeks, I was still in New Zealand. Mm. So physically, I was here, but mentally, I was handling like 10 tasks, but not feeling present.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Sometimes you need a break after
you need a vacation from the vacation.
Exactly. But you weren't really on vacation, though.
Yeah, it wasn't really a vacation.
It looked like it on Facebook.
Right.
But, you were doing so many different things. And at one point, I'm like, yo. And so I saw a picture of you on an ATV. Like,
yes.
Going off
Hopping a wheelie. Man, a serious one.
I know. But then the next day, you were like bungee jumping. I'm like, God. I'm like, he must be exhausted.
It was exhausting, but... so amazing. I mean, an experience that had me feeling like, wow, the vision is actualizing.
Yeah.
You know, the dream that I've been dreaming for 6-7 years is manifesting.
Mm.
And I think that's why now perhaps I've needed that time to kind of be underground to just appreciate how far I've come.
Mm. So let's scale back a bit. So okay. Talk about, one, what you've been up to.
Well, you tell me what you've been up to, man. Tell me about NYC. You were in New York for the Bad Boy reunion during that time. And that's the era.
That's the golden era.
And it looked like it was lit.
Well, we'll start with New York real quick. I did not go to the Bad Boy reunion, unfortunately. I wanted to. My friends were like, let's go. But I won't say unfortunately because I had a great time.
Right.
I went to a wedding of my college roommate, man. It was really...
Connecticut
College. He got married. Congratulations, Luca and Andrea. It was a really nice wedding. But I also went for my sister's graduation, which was really like a special moment. You know, every time sometimes when you're with your family, you're like, wow, everyone is just happy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was just really happy. Mm-hmm.
Which is a beautiful thing.
It was a real beautiful thing. Everyone really proud of her. She graduated from NYU, Purple Pride. She got her bachelor's in sociology, and she's quickly thinking of getting her master's. I told her to take a break, but she's like, no.
She's got the momentum.
She's got the momentum. I'm not mad at her. But it's crazy. It was great to be back in New York to see family, to see friends.
After being gone for 3 months?
3 months. But it felt like I was gone. On the one hand, it felt like I was gone for such a long time. But when I arrived, it was like I haven't been gone that long.
For sure. Home is always home.
Home is always home. But literally, in terms of time, it had been like 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it was weird because I had just started to get in a routine here. Mm-hmm. You know, going to work, just... doing my thing here, you know, working out, going out here, like cooking with my girlfriend, whatever it was. And then
living the Kenyan life.
Living the Kenyan life, the Nairobi grind. But then going back and just going right back to that New York grind, which is like, it's the mother of all grinds.
For sure, it is.
That New York grind and it was a lot of go for me because I had graduations, wedding, I was still working, you know, I had to get a haircut, I had to see my boys, and like... trying to do everything, and it was just weird. It was just weird being home.
What was weird about it? What was the weirdest aspect of it?
I think just seeing how different the United States is from any other place.
And what's different about it in your perspective?
I think it's at least New York, it's the go mentality. seeing how New York changes, if you're gone for 2 weeks, you come back, there's some new building. And also just sometimes it feels very tense. It's a very, right now, let's be real, the United States, it's a very tense environment. It's way more tense than Kenya.
For sure. Well, there has been a lot of tension here.
And that's the thing. There has been tension here
lately. And it's like, I think it's tension that we are somehow shielded from because we're not invested, as invested in the political systems here.
Right.
We're not a part of, you know, that tribal dialogue that fuels political tension here.
And people, when they talk about it, they really, you know, my coworkers have been great in explaining things to me, even my Kiswahili teacher. You know, and no one's been saying anything biased. I've been very careful. They've just been explaining it and how things have happened and how it looks like it's going to shape out. But you're right. When you're not really that invested, things seem distant. But I think in the United States for the first time, and maybe because in the past when I would vote or anything like that, I'm like, this is like a, I'm just voting and things will take care of itself. But now it's just like, I think, I guess as a true adult, true grown-ass man, you're just starting to see things manifest and you're like, what is going on? I don't know. I don't know if that's a proper explanation of how things are. And also just really appreciating what I'm doing now, being here, and like, I missed it. You know, clearly I missed my girlfriend, but like, in the past when I've worked abroad and I got a chance to go home, I was so excited. And I was excited, but like, I was ready this time. I'm like, all right, it's time to go. It's time to break out.
You were ready to get back to the Nairobi grind.
The Nairobi grind.
The city under the sun.
City under the sun. Got on my 17-hour flight and came back and hit the ground running again. But it was really good to see family. Really good to see friends. I got a podcast in. Shout out to Status Complicated. Check us out. But, you know, it's just good to be here. But there's a lot going on in the United States, man. And I think this is
so much.
So much. And it's such an important time and such an important upcoming election.
It's the end of an era of Obama.
Obama.
The first black family.
I'm going to miss him.
I'm going to miss them too. And it's a legacy that I feel so closely connected to, so closely tied to. And it, you know, for Hillary Clinton to have secured the nomination, now I'm seeing, you know, the power in that. And despite whatever, you know, her background may have been, what her nomination says for other leaders who are women or women who aspire to be leaders, not just in America, but globally, is something that is bigger than just her 8 years potentially in office. So, and for me, on the topic of U.S. politics, I just want the bigots to burn in hell. Let me just say that. I want the bigots to burn in hell, and anything to push them closer to that ledge of hell needs to happen. And I think Hillary's nomination will do that, because the U.S. has a big issue with not only racism, but also, you know, sexism.
And definitely.
And it's becoming more apparent, and it's been more apparent to me in this lead up to this Democratic nomination. And certainly we've talked about other cases. This is the current Stanford case. And I low-key feel like not even low-key, I mean, I am like a feminist in some ways, because I even had to have a discussion with some of my students at the Language Center. Students from all over Africa, you know, Rwanda, Burundi, Ethiopia, Somalia. And one of my students said that he actually felt that he's a Christian, you know, actually, you know, in the process of becoming a priest. But he said that he agreed with the way Muslims, in a sense, separated their genders, you know, like in the way that women are, you know, in their own space, and men are in their own space. And I asked him, I was like, well, why do you think that? And it was because we were kind of doing this cultural analysis, whereas a woman from a particular culture in India has to eat after the men eat. You know, the men are served first and the women eat last. And I said that I didn't really agree with that. But he was like, well, maybe that's the best way. Maybe the Muslims are onto something. And I thought, well, why would you say that? And he was like, well, in a sense, because men are so animalistic, we can't control ourselves. Men don't have the willpower to be controlled when it comes to women. So if a man is married, you can't expect... This is what he was implying. If a man is married, he just shouldn't be around other women. Because if he is, something's bound to happen.
So self-control out the window. Self-control out the window. Respect for your wife.
Exactly. Yeah. Respect for fellow women. And right. I'm just thinking, like, do we have that little belief in our ability to control ourselves? Mm. Do we see ourselves as that animalistic? Mm. And you know, I had this conversation with, you know, brothers from all aspects of the continent. They were kind of like all listening to me, and I'm just letting them know that, you know, we can't afford to push that patriarchal sexist rhetoric, because what it promotes is something that keeps women from progressing in society.
I definitely agree. Mm-hmm. You know, what's been going on recently specifically, I mean, I can think of many examples. We'll just go off of relevant examples, such as what's been going on with Stanford. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what we're going to post, but it'll still be relevant. I forget his last name, but Brock, who raped an unconscious girl behind a dumpster, mm-hmm. Was found guilty and was given a 6-month prison sentence from a judge.
He'll be home for Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas.
He'll be home. But when things like that happen, to me, I was just so shocked by that, you know? And, you know, my girlfriend works with a lot of young women who have suffered so much trauma in terms of, like, abduction, rape. It's made me check myself even more. And I thought, I still believe that I am a feminist, you know? Yes. But it's made me check myself at the door.
Right.
It's just like, man.
It's like not realizing the innate privilege that society gives us as men.
As men.
And I think when privilege is a part of your experience, whether it be privilege as a man or privilege as someone who's tall. I often use that example. Right. I mean, the privileges that tall people receive, we're unconscious to those, but people who are not tall.
Right.
Maybe very conscious of the discrimination that they receive as non-tall people. You know, just to kind of make it, like, very basic.
Right.
But, yeah, it's true. And I think as men, sometimes we don't realize the privilege that... Because even as black men in a society that often villainizes us, we still have more privilege than our black female counterparts.
Definitely.
Or even... women from other ethnicities or other races.
I do believe that, except for white women.
Yes.
Unfortunately. Speaking of white women, Hillary Clinton, I do think her nominee is a big deal. I know, right? Her nomination is a big deal. Even though the continent we're on now has had female leaders before
for sure,
the United States,
sure.
Liberia.
Yep, Ellen Sirleaf
Johnson. Also Argentina, Kitchener. But, you know, for me, I'm not a fan of Hillary, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly, you know, I don't want Donald Trump to be president of the United States. Mm-hmm. But as a black man and as a black man of Haitian descent,
the
Clintons have done a lot of horrible things to people that look like me and eat the same griot and banane brisée that I do. So this election for me is just a real tricky one. And, you know... I clearly can't get mad at someone who would prefer Hillary Clinton than Donald Trump, but it's not like I feel that...
You don't feel passionate. I mean, and
not
I don't feel
all.
Passionate about her either. I mean, with Obama, I felt passionate.
Of course.
You know, I was you know? Invested, you know, I was...
But, like, let me ask you that. So, I get where you're going. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I felt passionate. I felt invested. You know, I went to the first inauguration, stood outside in the cold.
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah, you know? With my sister, with my cousin. We all froze our asses off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Obama, we see him as this picture of perfection, and he's not perfect. He's
not
done
at
some
all.
Things that really I have not... been okay with, mm-hmm. Especially around immigration. Should I give women a pass that are staunch Hillary supporters? And they won't want to admit it, but part of that passion is like, this is a woman, this could be my, if they have daughters, this could be my daughter. Should I give them a pass being like, okay, I'm going to let that emotion ride you up for a little bit? Because that certainly was part of it, a big part of Obama being president. It's just like, this is a black man.
Right.
You know, this is not someone who's dunking a ball or rapping a verse. This is someone who
It was an image and a likeness that had not been celebrated or promoted as much, particularly in Western media, of people like us. So, and I always say the experience that I had living in Japan, in rural Japan, initially it was, 50 Cent.
Right.
Will Smith, Diddy. And then when Obama was
Kobe Bryant
elected, it was Obama sensei. And I felt like, finally, an image that is positive, that I truly do identify more with than 50.
Right. 50. Queens. Shout out to Queens.
Shout out to Queens, man. You know? But, and shout out to Diddy, H.U. as well. But, I mean, the fact is like, you know, you get tired of the same stereotypical archetypes being promoted.
Agreed.
And much like, I often have to have conversations with people, and I'm sure you have this experience as well. I think we've even discussed this before about people wanting to, like, limit what they see as black excellence. It's like, that's an exception. And I'm always quick to say, no, it's not an exception. Perhaps you haven't been exposed to it, but it's not an exception. Perhaps it's not promoted or celebrated as much as it should be in media, but it's not an exception.
And it can be promoted and celebrated in the simplest ways. Mm-hmm. Like here, if I'm watching a commercial, and it's a commercial for butter, it's a black family. Yes. Do you know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
It's like, you know, if it's a commercial for a cell phone company, it's just like black people working, whether it's in the market or getting on a motorbike to go to work. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like in the United States, like black excellence, I feel like we have to search for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's there, but we have to look for it. If you don't know where it is, you have to look for it. For sure, you have to, like, I need to find this, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, it's an interesting time.
Very interesting time.
Hopefully 20 years from now when we both have children, we could be like, back this in 2016,
then.
This is then. But let's talk about you, man.
All right.
You've been up to a lot of interesting things. Speaking of black excellence.
Hey.
You've been out and about, man. You basically have had two television series running at the same time.
Yes.
Or you've been working on two of them at the same time.
Working on two at the same time. It's definitely been a busy time, man. And I think, like, wow, you know, it's just wow. And I'm in such a space, slightly overwhelmed. Mm. And I was even thinking today, I was like, this is not the time to be overwhelmed because I have so much going on that I should really be enjoying. Mm. Hey, nobody said the grind was easy.
No.
You know, and nobody ever, what I've really learned in this process before I just start to talk about it, nobody sees the behind the scenes. You know, I mean, everything once it's produced and polished and edited and it's on TV or online, it's like, oh, this is amazing, you know? But the journey of the people who you see on TV or even, you know, the smoke and mirrors that you know, create this great production, it's not always easy.
No.
It's not always easy. It is a lot of hard work. And I think if you don't really care about it for the right reasons, you're not going to really want it. You're not going to really want it. So New Zealand proved to me that, you know, my mission in all of this is truly to inspire people. I mean, that is the mission. New Zealand was a dream come true for me. I think, like, what I love most about it was I'd been to New Zealand once before, the North Island. I'd gone to Auckland in 2009. Traveled a bit around the North Island.
As a tourist?
As a tourist, I traveled there with some friends who were also teaching in Japan. Some great friends of mine. We did Sydney and Cairns in Australia, and then we went down to New Zealand. It was like, hey, when are we ever going to be back in this region of the world? So literally the farthest place I've ever been, I end up getting this great opportunity to go back to. And it's me and two amazing guys, two amazing filmmakers, Jesse Shard, who is the producer of digital content for World Nomads, based in Sydney, and Dan Usher, who, like, child prodigy style videographer, lives in Colombia, Medellin, in the house of creatives.
You should go to Medellin. Now that you have a place.
Yes, exactly.
Medellin is
You've
phenomenal.
Been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really nice. I'm with my girlfriend. It's...
Mm-hmm.
You would love it, but continue.
I would love to get to Medellin. And he said the door is open. And he's actually coming to Kenya in August. So I actually want to connect him to the Kenyatta Trust to do some great videography work. Man, sure. You got us. Two of the videos already published, actually.
We'll take a look and we'll plug it as well.
Exactly. So it was just amazing to be surrounded by masters, you know, in this filmmaking, video production space, which I really felt had been like the gap between me taking these dreams and actualizing them. So it was sick, man. I mean, from literally, flying into Queenstown, which is this super global village tourist destination in the South Island of New Zealand. I mean, totally global. I mean, every other person that you meet there is from the U.S., you know, Europe. Unfortunately, not many Africans, but people from all over the world. And it was just amazing. Like, wow, you know, like, people came for maybe like a holiday or a vacation and saw how great it was. I mean, because it's great. I mean, picturesque, absolutely gorgeous. Mountains, lakes, just this. Okay, I'm having a moment. I'm literally having a moment. So, and on top of that, it's the adventure tourism capital of the world, adventure sports capital
of
the world.
So, like, bungee jumping.
Bungee was founded in New Zealand in the 80s, So, I mean, there are multiple types of bungee. Trust me, the night before the bungee episode was filmed, which was definitely the most challenging one for me, I was doing my research. I was doing all kinds of homework, the history of bungee. So, I did all my research on bungee jumping. It was founded in New Zealand, actually, by this guy, AJ Hackett, who runs, like, the biggest bungee company. So there's like bungee swing and tandem bungee, and I mean, bungee is just epic. And it's actually a Vanuatu tribal ritual. That's where it originates from. It was like a fertility ritual for women, which when the colonists came in, they took that ritual away from women, and the men began to do that as
so it was actually a thing that was
it's very cultural.
Who colonized New Zealand?
Well, not New Zealand. This was more like the Vanuatu Islands, the Vanuatu Islands in more of like, you know, Samoa, Fiji, the Southern Pacific. But in terms of colonization of New Zealand, I believe it's also the British.
Gotcha.
Also the British. So, I was definitely doing my homework about bungee. I was like, okay, I'm literally about to do something, that I've always wanted to do. But also, that's kind of insane. You know, it's a little bit mental. And that's what we kept saying, like, this is mental. This is really mental. But man, like, what a personal feat. And every day on that journey from, you know, doing riverboarding, you know, in whitewater rapids, freezing water. Literally, the water was freezing. I did a cliff jump, you know, trying to show off for the cameras.
Right.
A contact popped out. And literally, I had to go another hour in that water with one eye. And there was no way that I could get out because it was like, hey, we're doing it for the cameras. I mean, this has to be captured. So I was a true G. So even realizing like how much you can push yourself when you're dedicated to something.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that I can swim to save myself, but in terms of pushing myself through wild whitewater rapids and currents and freezing temperatures, it was crazy. It was epic. I mean, but it was crazy. So from that to bungee, you know, initially I conquered the bungee swing where you literally release yourself and go flying across Queenstown to the 145 meter bungee jump, which is the tallest bungee in New Zealand. And literally you're transported to a pod in the middle of the mountains. And it's like, okay, it's just you and that ledge.
Yeah.
And they're like, 1, 2, 3, bungee. And
did you have to look, I mean, you were doing it for television. Did you have to look like...
Well, no, it was natural. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, it was really capturing like my natural. And that's another thing. I learned so much in the process. I think on the first, you know, my presence, my on-camera presence in the first day is very different from my on-camera presence at the end. Because I realized with the help and coaching of the directors that it wasn't about coming in and being like, hi, I'm Jabari Inspires and I'm showcasing this to you all. It's just about being like, you know, I'm Jabari, man, I'm like so nervous about this experience, but I'm super excited. Like, so it was really just being myself. You know, you don't have to present.
You don't just have to act.
Be. Yeah. Exactly. So I definitely learned a lot and, you know, really was able to gain more insight into what my strengths were.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that by the end of it, as the feedback that I received, you know, would say, yeah, I definitely delivered an A-game worthy performance.
I'm pretty sure you did, man.
Yeah, and it was natural. I think what they loved most about me was the fact that I was just a people magnet. You know, like wherever we were, obviously cameras attract people, but
yeah.
Just naturally gravitating toward people and having people gravitate toward me, no matter where they were from, who they were, and they were like, wow, we've never seen this before. And definitely being like the lone black man, you know, everywhere we went.
You
definitely get a following, but it was very positive because people were like, wow, what's going on? Who are you? Where are you from? Like, what are you guys doing? So again, it just reminds me of the value of global citizenship. Mm. And it made me realize that there are so many amazing places in this world that you can live. Comfortably,
yeah.
That you can still have access to all of these amenities or trappings of comfort that we feel we can't live without. I mean, the world is much more similar than different, I believe.
Yeah.
Particularly in big cities.
Especially when you start getting to talk to people.
Right.
Did they capture your interactions with people? Yeah, you said you were people magnet. Did they capture that?
We filmed one episode on like Queenstown as a global village. Mm. And actually one of my good friends who I taught in Japan with, she's from New Zealand and she lives in Queenstown. So we hung out.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we hung out twice while I was there, which was really cool. Yeah, no, I love New Zealand. Actually, I'm like, wow, New Zealand is like such like, I'm going back. Yeah. You know, I'm going back. And Queenstown, and the people there are so down to earth. There's something about like that down under vibe where it's just like casual. That they're not speaking to you in any other way than they would speak to any other bro. You know, it's like, hey bro, what's up? Like, hey man, like what's going on? It's just so casual. So it immediately makes you feel like you're really connected to these people. And there's a saying in Queenstown that every night's a weekend because people just come in and out of there on holiday. It's kind of like an ongoing spring break.
Right.
So it could be a dangerous place because there are a lot of people who kind of come, stay, never leave. There's not really much upward mobility in terms of professional growth unless you're into the hotel, tourism restaurant, or adventure sports scene.
Yeah.
And it's very expensive.
I bet it is.
Very expensive there. And the population of the town has grown to where real estate is absolutely ridiculous.
But is it ridiculous, but is it nice? It's always by water.
We stayed in an amazing Airbnb, which was like just on the lake and really picturesque. But a lot of people who have property are not leasing it to locals. They're putting it on Airbnb because they can obviously make money. A lot more money.
I can't be mad at them, unfortunately.
So overall, I loved it. Had a blast. I mean, and the skydiving, you know, there were like 4 days where we were booked for skydiving. And each day the weather would mess up. One day the weather was absolutely perfect. But the wind was a bit too strong. So literally it got down to the wire. And every day it was like this emotional roller coaster. Like, we're going to do it. We get there. We get suited up. Oh, we can't do it. On the last day, literally 2 hours before my flight out, it's like, we're booked for skydiving. Let's go. So already my mind and my body has calmed down. I'm like, we're about to do the final interviews. And we're rushed to the skydiving center. And literally, without all of the ability to kind of be relaxed that we had in the previous days, it was like, all right, get dressed, get on the plane.
Hurry up.
Like 10 minutes, you know, we're ascending 15,000 feet in the air. And luckily, I'd done it before. I would have been like
freaking out. So for me, I would rather. I've bungee jumped once.
Really? Where?
Austria.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. But
I was 17 years old.
That's
18
so
years
cool.
old.
Yeah.
It was cool, but I didn't like it. I keep remembering. I did it with Ryan. Shout out to you. Where we jumped, and I just felt
you did tandem jump.
Tandem jump.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was at like. Like some sketchy amusement park.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the feeling of the blood rushing to my head. Mm. Like, I just didn't like...
You didn't like that feeling.
Mm. Mm. So I feel like, I don't know what skydiving would be like, but I feel like I would prefer it.
I think skydiving is almost more enjoyable because you actually have that minute of free fall and then you have about 5 to 6 minutes of of actually being able to enjoy
the
ride down with the parachute. But bungee for me was such a feat.
Yeah.
And the thing about, you know, doing these sports in Queenstown, New Zealand, the mecca of adventure sports, is that the level of professionalism, the quality, the standard, everything was top notch. So you knew you were dealing, at every step of the journey, you knew you were dealing with people who knew exactly what they were doing, who had done this 100 times themselves. And when you see the people who are also doing this, whether before or after you, you're like, why not me? Like, what makes me any different from, you know, the 24-year-old girls? Actually, I met 2 girls from Alabama who were bungee jumping on the day I was bungee jumping, going 2 or 3 times, like, hitting it, man. And I'm like, hey, there's no way that I'm going to come here
and not do it.
And not do it. So overall, the greatest lesson is that the magic happens beyond the comfort zone.
Yeah.
And travel is amazing. And this is what I want to utilize my journey here on Earth to do, to inspire people through adventures and experiences, and really uncovering places on in our world that people just don't ever, like, really think of. You know, that people don't ever really think of. I mean, and I think Kenya is one of those places still. I mean, for as much as people know about Kenya, they don't really know about Kenya.
No.
They don't know about Nairobi. They don't, which is why I love the show that I'm producing with TV Cosmopolitan.
What's the name of that show?
Inspired to Explore.
Mm.
So very much so in the same vein of travel, tourism, and ultimately showcasing what is not often showcased. And I love this one because it's an African series, and it's really showcasing the currently we're filming in Nairobi, showcasing the Nairobi, the Kenyan, and ultimately showcase the continent through the lens that I want people to see it through the places that we go, you know, the many establishments that are like, you know, people would not imagine these places in Africa, but they're here and they're abundant. And this is a big part of Africa. So it's really an opportunity for me to showcase the beauty of the continent as I see it. And I think answer that question that people often have for me when I go back home, like, how's Africa?
Yeah.
You know, like, how's Africa?
So Africa.
Yeah, how's Africa? You know, and also, you know, I found myself getting disturbed every time I go home. I'll be 3 years in Kenya on Wednesday. So
wow.
My 3-year Kenyaversary is on Wednesday.
My 3 months was on Monday.
Wow. happy Kenyaversary.
Thank
you
very much.
So what I realize is that when I'm telling people, like, yeah, you know, that the networks are so dynamic, you know, there's so much, you know, like, modern development that people wouldn't expect. And people are like, really? Really? Like, you know, how you were living. And it's just frustrating because, granted, you don't know what you're missing out on until you experience it firsthand. But at the same time, there's just such a misperception.
Negative perception.
A negative perception about the continent.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that many friends often wonder, like, how is Jabari doing it? Or maybe even, how is Joel doing it? Or they just can't imagine that our lives are...
good.
Are good. Yeah, are really good. We have really great lives. But people can't imagine that sometimes outside of the U.S.
Yeah, and even, like, the other day, I think it's been a month, when that, unfortunately, that building collapsed when there was really bad...
The flood.
The floods.
Yeah, I was in New Zealand at the time.
So, you know, it was bad, but, you know, I didn't see it at all. Mm. You know, working for an NGO, you get all these alerts. And then, you know, my family's reaching out to me, hey, you heard about the building, or you need the building. And then, you know, I turn on the news, and... you know, it was tragic, but the way they show it, it's just like almost like this was like in like the poorest place on Earth.
Yeah.
And there were no resources. And it was...
On which news channel?
News station? It could have been BBC or Al Jazeera. I can't remember. I don't really watch CNN or, excuse me, or Fox or anything like that. Here, at least. But wherever they showed it, it just showed it as like, this is like... ground zero. And it was, in a sense, ground zero, like, you know, 9/11 ground zero. I'm not saying they had to dress it up, but it just made Nairobi look like absolute crap.
For sure. For sure.
And
it's not to say that there aren't some bad places. You know, there are parts of this city that you and I never engage with.
Agreed.
But that's like anywhere in the world.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are parts of my city, New Orleans, that I don't ever engage with.
Yep.
It's deep.
It's deep. It's deep. But I'm glad that you're doing that, and I'm glad that you're enjoying it so far. So, I mean, are you sleeping? I mean, let's go back to New Zealand. Have you, did you sleep at all?
In New Zealand?
Yeah.
I did sleep. Okay. I did sleep. Because, I mean, to have that camera in your face, I mean, one, you want to be fresh. I mean,
right.
Hey, brother has to be, like, camera ready.
Yeah.
One, but two, yeah, I mean, I think that the mental dexterity that is required to take on these adventures in such a rapid succession, it was challenging.
Yeah.
It was definitely challenging. I mean, it's not like, oh, you build yourself up to do this one activity on one day, and then you're just chilling
the next
for the
day.
Rest of the year. No. You know, it's like, bam, 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 bam. And every day was more intense. Literally up until I jumped out of that plane from 15,000 feet in the air 2 hours before flying out. But amazing, man. And I think for me, it's like, damn, Jabari, like, I wasn't the most athletic kid growing up. I didn't play, like, football. I played baseball for, like, a summer, and I sucked. I didn't play basketball, which people always like, hey, you're so tall. Why don't you play basketball? Yeah. And I think because of those limited ideas of what boys should be, particularly black boys, you know, if you're not playing these sports, then what the hell is wrong
with
you?
What's your worth?
Yeah, what's your worth, basically?
Yeah.
And fortunately, I had my speech and debate, you know, that was really my everything, you know, growing up. But this experience proved to me, as traveling, you know, has allowed me to do a lot of adventure sports. It really helped me see, like, yo, being athletic is not limited to
Dunking a basketball,
throwing a football.
Right.
And I'm thankful that travel has allowed me to see myself in a context that growing up I never could, because there was such a limited idea. I remember pushing myself to run track and field because I felt like I needed that to be more well-rounded, or I needed that to kind of validate that I was a little bit
athletic.
Mm-hmm. And this experience was just like, man, like, wow, look at all the things you're doing now. And who would have thought, you know, that the kid who wasn't great at throwing the football, you know, popping wheelies on four-wheelers.
ATV.
And like manning it, dude, like owning it.
That was the picture to me that stood out.
Yeah.
When I saw you popping that wheelie, I was like, whoa, yeah. He's getting it in out there. That's really dope, man. Like, do you think that the show will reach others? I mean, it's probably going to be online, both of your shows. But what do you...
Yeah, one of them's like on air.
Right. Mm-hmm. But what do you want to do to try and like promote it?
Maximize it.
Yeah.
Yes, to maximize the opportunity. Yeah, and that's where I am right now. And I think that's why I said I'm feeling like overwhelmed, because it's like such a... I mean, there's like... This is like such a prime period. 3 years in Kenya on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the show, the World Nomad series from New Zealand, like the first two episodes have been released, and it's running concurrent with a campaign, so people can actually apply to this competition to win a similar trip like I went on.
Dope.
Doing all these adventures. So you should apply, bro.
I might think
you should. And so I'll be promoting that as well. So for me, one of the greatest things is being able to utilize this content to build a strong reel that I can then use for further projects. Because I think ultimately, even with the TVC series that I'm working on now, what I realize most is that I want to be a boss. You know, I don't want necessarily to be directed, you know. Not to say that I won't value, you know, direction, which I receive great direction, but it just reminded me the importance of creating content, you know, being a content creator. And I think in the position of like a host or a presenter, it can be very much a position where, like, you know, just stand in front of the camera, you know, people try to feed you lines. And I think that was also one of the things that they realized about me that was maybe different from previous presenters. I'm very conscious of how I want to be perceived and portrayed. And that has a lot to do with like who we are and what we're pushing against, you know, in terms of promoting positive imagery and really also being authentic. I'm not the type of guy who can be told to say a sarcastic joke, because I don't have that sarcastic personality.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's also like, you know, there's power in creating.
I agree.
There's power in creating. So all this is great experience, and I think it's all contributing to like the big picture. And now that I've gotten to this point, which I think at once upon a time I would have seen as like the big picture, I'm like, no, the picture is much bigger.
Keep going.
The picture is much bigger.
That's the cool thing, man. When you know, and I talk about this with people, it's about like having goals.
Yes.
It's so important because you strive for something and then you get there. It's like, all right, from here, what next? Mm-hmm. Like, how can I build on this? Mm-hmm. And kind of like you were saying, like, now you can't. I don't want to be directed anymore.
Right.
I'm ready. I did it. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to like continue to create my own thing. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with you. And even if I think I'm sure the majority of our listeners have full-time jobs. Mm-hmm. And I think now's the time to create. You know, you always have to find extra time. It's hard.
It's hard. And that I think that's the thing. You know, it's you just kind of got to create that time. You've got to create that time. It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
It's a balancing act. I want to get your advice. What do you think that I should do with this experience to maximize, you know, this place, this space?
I mean, promote.
Yeah, promote it.
Promote it. And, you know, when you promote it, someone or some peoples are going to see it. And they're probably going to reach out. And then I think it's about options, you know. You give yourself options, which I think you're doing a great job. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the one level of advice. We'll definitely plug it here.
Right. And I was going to say, maximizing that as it's aligned to the podcast,
yeah.
The Global Citizen Podcast, because there's such a great opportunity here. There's such great, and I haven't, you know, I still have that idea for us to do the live broadcast. We can talk more about
the Global Citizen, offline.
The Global Citizen Affair, and all of that, man. But I'm still so grateful for this opportunity, and even amidst the busy schedule that I have right now, I joke and I say I have like 7 jobs, literally like 7 jobs, and that's what I prayed for, you know,
yeah.
And that's why they say be careful what you wish for because you just
right.
get it, and. You just make time for the things that, you know, when you're doing things you're passionate about, even if it is 7 jobs, it doesn't feel like 7 jobs.
It doesn't feel like a job.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know.
It's like a project that
yeah.
I love, you know.
And that's how you want it to be. Mm-hmm. Also be your own boss.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really great, man. I'm really proud of you. I'm looking forward.
I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you very much.
Month 3 in Kenya.
I know. It's
the best is yet to come.
It feels like I've been here for like
50 years. It feels like you've been
years.
Here forever,
yeah.
too. I really feel like you've been here for a while.
It's just what it really feels that way. And
but the first day we met up here feels like it was a long time
yep.
ago. That was the day I went on the TBC audition.
That was 3 months ago.
That was
3 months. And then we had drinks at the rooftop.
Yeah,
hotel.
Man.
I know.
We need another night out, dude. Honestly, I would say that I have not been going out that much. I mean, like, my weeks have been so busy.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just clamoring for, like, any, like, just free time to just chill.
Do your own
to
thing.
Just
yeah,
chill.
You need that, man. Mm. You need that.
And it's like, you know, the weeks have been really fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's one thing.
Yeah.
And
but at the end of the week, even for me, mm-hmm. I'm exhausted.
Beat.
Like Friday, just completely exhausted. Saturday, we went out. We went to this spot called K1, which
yeah,
is...
Yeah, K1, yeah. You guys went to K1?
Yeah.
I thought you said you were going to a pool party.
It just didn't work out.
Okay. K1 is cool. K1 is like actually like the spot. I like K1. It's not a place like I like to go to often, but... It's cool.
K1 is good for like reggae nights on Thursday, but I like the fact that it's like a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You want to dance, you could dance. Mm-hmm. You want to sit, you could sit.
Shisha
it up.
Yeah.
We watched a little bit of the Euro Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a little bit of the Euro Cup, European Championships in soccer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Nairobi nzuri sana.
No, poor sana.
Kiswahili. Yeah. Kidogo. I'm enjoying it, and, you know, I'm looking forward to us continuing to talk about our journeys here.
Yes, for sure, and inspiring others to talk more about their journeys.
Yeah.
One thing that I do have coming up that the podcast will be a big part of is I'm launching a campaign in July to coincide with the 6-year anniversary of Jabari Inspires.
It's already been 6 years.
It's 6 years. 6 years since I got fired from my job in New York.
Yep.
at iMentor. Shout out to iMentor. Thank you guys so much.
Shout out to them.
Seriously, I mean, it was a major part of my journey. No bad blood whatsoever. All love.
Yeah.
I still speak so positively about my experience at that job. But I also speak positively about getting fired because it led me to beginning to live the life of my dreams. That's far from done.
Yeah.
Got a ways to go.
Sometimes things like that need to happen in order for you to launch, you know?
Without a doubt. And to also realize that our worth is not defined by a job.
No.
Or a position.
No.
Or a title. Or a salary.
Not at all.
Or a city.
You know, a friend of mine told me that, you know, sometimes it's not about being content, but there's more, like you said, there's more to life than work. Mm-hmm. And I think once you start doing other things, you realize that. You're like, all right, this is cool, but I really love doing this. Mm-hmm. Maybe I love to garden. Maybe I love to bungee jump. Mm-hmm. Maybe I love to podcast. Mm-hmm. But I think we grew up in a culture sometimes where we're defined by our work. Especially, mm-hmm. and that's the thing about New York. Mm-hmm. What are you up to? What do you do? Oh, yeah, really?
That blah, question blah, blah. Is the worst.
Yeah, it's like, don't New worry York, about what DC. I do. Yeah, D.C. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing, and I think I've become so much less about that. Like, I'd rather talk about
how has your life changed, even in the short 3 months that you've been here? What type of changes do you feel? Have you seen?
I mean, I think for the past 3 years now, I've been trying to take better care of myself. Mm-hmm. But here, it's different. Like, I love being outside. You know, my girlfriend and I, we're going to try and travel a lot more. We went whitewater.
You guys have been doing a great job. How was whitewater rafting in Savannah? Oh, man,
it was phenomenal.
Was it fun?
It was so much fun.
How was the water?
Cold. It wasn't that cold. Brown, like you said.
That's what I wanted to know,
it's not,
right?
It's not Auckland, New Zealand, but water. But it was just a good time.
Yes.
But it's just like here, being in Kenya, being in Africa, really, you have access to
so much beauty.
So much beauty. Like, there definitely is nature here in Africa.
Oh, my God. And Kenya, which is one of the things I want us to ultimately showcase with the show, has some of the best luxury travel options in the world. Above and beyond. Beautiful. I mean, if you just, and I'm just realizing it more so now, but I mean, even in Nairobi alone, the wealth of hotels, boutique, bed and breakfast, you
it's
know.
A lot.
It, I mean, you would need a lifetime to see it all.
Yeah.
And it's just a reminder that, I mean, you will find as much as you're willing to search for.
Yeah. I agree. So I think there's that in lifestyle. And it's just also like, just being in a place where I am not so concerned about who I am, what I look like.
It's interesting, right?
It is interesting. And, you know, I'm blending in a lot more, you know, so when I greet people in the street with the little bit of Swahili that I know, they start opening up to me in Swahili, and I gotta be like, actually, sorry.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. But then the good thing is like, even when that happens, people can immediately switch to English.
So it's just, I guess that's one thing. And just looking forward to the next chapter, man. You know, I'm starting to plan for the future again. I think I had stopped for a while. I was just like, just day to day. Now I'm
in New York.
In New York. You know, after I came back from Haiti and then I got a job, I was just like, all right, I'm just doing this. And now I'm like, wow, I'm starting to have plans for myself again. You know, I've done that before, but it's been a while. Like, I've always been big on 5-year plans, and I think now I'm starting to, like, think about, like, yeah, let's do this again. So that, and maybe, is it Kenya? I don't know. But that's something that's new-ish for me.
Kenya's a special place.
I do believe that, man. I do believe that.
For anything that could frustrate us here, much like things could frustrate you anywhere.
Yeah. Internet, Zuku, the fuck, yeah, Zuku.
It's interesting. I mean, I think on Friday I had one of those days after, you know, having the opportunity to speak to this dynamic group of young women from all parts of Africa, and also, you know, really have like my journey here, my entrepreneurial journey here, like highlighted and doing things that, you know, I've really been able to just build. It's like, you know, so many of my blessings have been tied to Kenya. You know, Kenya has allowed me to grow in ways that I never imagined. It's pushed me in ways. And I would say that, like, this, after taking the entrepreneurial leap here last year, within the past few months, I've just started to, like, you know, get in a more comfortable space financially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a reminder that...
can buy some nice things, do some nice things.
Save.
And,
it's more so like patience is a virtue. A delay is not a denial, because there were so many times where I wanted to give up. There were so
delay
many times where
is not a denial. That's such a really...
A delay is not a denial.
Good. Is that you? Is that Jabari original?
Yeah. definitely, man. And so... yeah, you know, it's like, what if I would have given up? I would have missed out on so many great opportunities. Yeah. What if I would have not believed in myself enough? So, I mean, to all of you, all the listeners, don't give up on your dream. That dream is on your heart, in your mind, on your spirit for a reason. No matter how dark the path ahead seems, keep forging, because it's going to manifest. Perhaps not in the way that you imagine.
Mm.
But in an even better way.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. I mean, I think that's something that's been reaffirmed over the years. And, you know, I know in your experiences, you can say the same thing.
It's true. It's definitely true. I think that's a great way to wrap up. Jabari, can you plug everything that...
Plug everything. Yes, sir. The shameless plug. Okay, so we have World Nomads Extraordinary Experiences, the 7-part web series that is now on World Nomads TV on YouTube. So youtube.com/World Nomads TV. The first 2 episodes are already published. Skydiving, as well as your favorite, Joel, the quad biking, which was absolutely epic. We actually went out for drinks with the quad biking instructor after.
Well,
and he was just after. So chill. It was awesome. So yes, check those out over the next 30 days or so. We'll be releasing the remaining 5 episodes or 6 episodes. And there's also a competition. You can apply to win a trip like I went on in New Zealand. All expense paid, all adventures paid for, bungee, skydive, white water river boarding, quad biking, bungee swing, Lugeon, which is like little Mario Kart go-karts on the cliff of this beautiful mountain.
Wow.
So just some amazing adventures and activities. Check out worldnomads.com. You can find out all the information, and you'll see me as the host. I also have Inspired to Explore coming out on TV Cosmopolitan. That is premiering in July. I'm filming the first season now, and it's all about highlighting the best of... for our first season, Kenya. The best hotels, restaurants, tourism, destinations, and travel experiences. And the goal is to take it beyond Kenya, across Africa, and to the global community. JabariInspires.com. The relaunch is coming soon. I also have 30 Days of Global Inspiration, a 30-day campaign seeking to promote essentially what we promote here, voices of people around the globe who are using their journeys to inspire others to be better. Again, a delay is not a denial. So many of these plans have been manifesting for like damn near a decade. So trust me when I say keep pushing. The dreams that you have are meant for you.
Beautiful. Thank you everyone for listening. Check us out on MI83 on Facebook, MI83 Facebook page, MI83 on Twitter. Check me out, Global Citizen Podcast. On Instagram, JoeA25 on Snapchat. And until next time, peace out, everybody.
Peace, and blessings.
Yo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, a Haitian. Name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation. So you're in the jam that we can get down. Now let's knock the boots like the group 8.